You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
When I go to the mall and I go to the Dior store and I want something, I get it. I ask how much it costs and I buy it. So if you really want something, you just go get it. So, that's... I'm the product here, and if they want my product, you know, they just got to come get it.
Yeah, and sometimes you shop in the Dior store, and sometimes you shop in the Dior outlet store, you know, and you get really nice things for a considerably better price, like
it's
Carlos Correa.
Rack. He went to Dior Rack,
yeah.
And there was a rebate, a $33 million rebate. I said, hey, okay, well, we'll buy your Correa back from you, but yeah. You're going to have to give us $33 million in credit card credit or something like that, or store credit. We got store credit.
That's right. Yeah, Seth, Jim Crane got a push notification. He got a text yesterday like I get from Academy when they have a flash sale, and they're like, look, you got till 5 o'clock this afternoon, and you're going to get 33% off of a very, very talented shortstop, but you got to do it by 5.
Right.
You got to do it by 5 o'clock.
And that's exactly what it was like. You race down to the store in Minnesota there, and you pick up a Carlos Correa, which I got way more excited about than I thought I was going to.
I did too.
I was trying to be so cool beforehand. I did this with Bregman too, and I knew when they were talking about potentially still signing Bregman even after the trade that brought Paredes in. I was like, okay, I'm feeling at the time like we don't need it, we've moved on. But I knew as soon as if they had signed Bregman back, I would be super ecstatic.
Yeah.
This one caught me even more by surprise.
Yeah.
Partly because so many people around baseball were saying, probably not going to happen. The Astros want too much. Jim Crane's not going to go over the luxury tax into the luxury tax for the second time in a row. And lo and behold, as Jim Crane is wont to do with the trade deadline, he damn well, every now and then at the trade deadline, Jim Crane says, that's it. I want that purse from the Dior store. And I'm gonna
get it. I want that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't even check with his wife, I heard. He just said, nope.
I want this Correa. Ask for forgiveness later.
Got the text alert on his phone, said, is this you? Just being sure this isn't fraud. And he said, yes, it's me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm with you. That to me is the A number one story with all this. And I guess for those of you who may have missed it, Carlos Correa is an Astro once again at the trade deadline, about 2 hours before the trade deadline yesterday. The news came down about Correa returning to Houston. It took forever for the details to come out. I don't know why. About an hour later is when we saw that the Twins are picking up $33 million of the around $100 million left on Correa's contract. He's got 3 years left after this year. So Carlos Correa, we're at a place now, Seth, with Carlos Correa that a lot of Astro fans hoped we would be when he hit free agency in 2021. When the Astros made him a 5-year, $160 million offer, he leaves and goes to the Twins on that 1-year prove-it deal. Then he hits free agency again and gets not one, but two $300 million deals from the Giants and the Mets that both get voided, and he goes back to Minnesota on a 6-year, $200 million deal. And now he's an Astro once again, where the Astros are basically paying around, if I do the math, $20 million, $20 plus, a little over $20 million a year for the next 3 years for Carlos Correa. Jim Crane is really, really good at allowing very expensive things to leave and then finding them at a garage sale 3 years later at about 60% of the price.
It's what the Patriots did forever. Guys would leave, and then lo and behold, a year or two later, they'd come back and be playing really well for the Patriots. So the Astros obviously don't need to. Back in the day, you might say, "Well, I hope the Astros or the Texans operate the way the Patriots did when they were so good." I mean, the Astros set the standard in a lot of ways for how to operate aggressively but intelligently. And I told you and I were talking about before the show. I mean, Jim Crane might be the ideal owner in terms of how the fan base can relate to him, and that he operates the team kind of like a fan, like a smart, responsible, a fiscally responsible fan, but that all, you know, tries to say, no, we got to be careful, and then all of a sudden says, screw it, we're going to go for it. Well, and no, we got to do it this year. Okay, yeah, screw the future. But like, oh, no, we're not going to have gusto. Fine. It's just almost become like clockwork now that you can depend on, more likely than not, something really crazy and cool happening at the trade deadline.
Verlander, Greinke, Verlander again, and now Carlos Correa. And
Verlander the second time when the Mets were paying so much of his salary.
Which is a lot like this, which is where I was going to go for a second, which is if there's a criticism of Jim Crane as an owner, I would say that one is a very specific one, which is he allowed the team to be run by a non-GM for about a month, and they made some horrible decisions. That's water under the bridge now. You know, Abreu's gone, Montero's gone, Brantley, you know, like whatever. The other criticism, I think, or the other times where people get upset with Jim Crane is when he doesn't spend big to keep his own guys. Gerrit Cole leaves, George Springer leaves, Carlos Correa leaves, Justin Verlander leaves, and I think what we've seen now, Seth, with the deadline 2 years ago with Verlander coming back and now with this deal with Correa, is that by and large, those have been very good decisions to let these guys walk. You know, Gerrit Cole is in the middle of rehabbing a Tommy John, and granted, he's won a Cy Young, he's been good for the Yankees, and George Springer's been up and down for the Blue Jays, but staying out of that high ticket free agency has been a big reason why the Astros have been able to sustain this thing, because it's not like they haven't been bumping up against the competitive balance tax, or in the case of the last 2 years, been over it while letting these guys walk. I mean, he's still spending a lot of money, and Carlos Gray ain't going to be cheap, but at what essentially amounts to 3 years, $22, $23 million a year to probably play third base for this team, at least for this year and probably, you know, next year, depending on what they end up doing with Peña over the next couple of years. I like the deal, if for no other reason, and you hit it right out of the chute. This is an energy jolt. This is a really cool feel-good thing. I don't know. You may have felt a certain way about whether they should do this deal with the money or this or that, and I felt that way. Like, people were like, should they go get Correa? I'm like, I don't know. Tell me the terms of the deal, and then I'll tell you if they should do it, because this has everything to do with how much you're spending on him and what you're giving up. I want to be there the night that he returns to Daikin Park on Monday the 11th against the Red Sox to be part of that reaction for Carlos Correa return, regardless of how you feel about the deal. It's really cool having him back on this baseball team.
Yeah, no, I think the injection of energy is a very real thing. And that's, you could be cynical about that or whatever it might be, but we've just seen on this team through the golden era how much it mattered when guys like George Springer were around in the dugout. Alex Bregman's effect, you know, they're finding out in Boston just how valuable he is to the younger guys. And Carlos Correa, really, by the time he left, had transformed into a veteran leader and a guy that had the Astros DNA in him and all of that. And it works out. It's even better in that, you know, if you're wondering about whether Correa was going to play second, the shortstop or third base, turns out that he's wanted to play third base for a while now. They just hadn't been able to get one there for the Twins to take the shortstop reins. So he just settles seamlessly into playing third base while your shortstop of the future can be mentored by Carlos Correa. It's a really cool situation.
It's cool, and it's cool, too, when you talk about mentoring, that there's a mentoring aspect with Correa to Jeremy Peña. And I know we have some fun with that audio that when Correa returned to Minute Maid for the first time, and he's talking to the media about, you know, made it sound like he discovered Jeremy Pena. We have some fun with that audio, but the fact of the matter is that in that year or two where they overlapped, at least being in spring training together, you know, where Pena was still part of the minor league team, but the big league ball club and the minor leaguers would cross-pollinate sometimes, that Correa was very much a mentor to Pena then. The two work out in the offseason now. It's going to be, but they've never played in a big league game together. You know, it went from Correa being a near MVP to the next season, Pena being an amazing rookie who was the actual MVP in the postseason for the Astros that year in the ALCS and the World Series. It's going to be, Pena's supposed to return tonight. Correa, before leaving the Twins, missed a game, I think, because of migraine. So we'll see what the deal is. Carlos is going to be with the team in Boston. Whether he plays tonight or not, it's not been made clear. Whenever that first game is, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, and seeing Carlos Correa and Jeremy Pena jogging out onto the field at the same time to take that side of the infield together is going to feel a little bit surreal, you know?
It's going to be really cool. And the other part of it with Correa is, you know, people will point out, hey, he's not having a great year. He's been up and down. He's had one bad month, one good month.
Yeah.
It's playoffs, Correa. I mean, that's one of the reasons that teams wanted him so badly, was because the Astros have played so many playoff games and series, it really, in the entirety of Correa's career, it's not just flukishness or luck that Correa has been really, really good in the playoffs. It's kind of freakish how consistently good he's been in the playoffs versus the best competition in the league. He hardly ever has a bad series. Like, very, very rarely is he even in a series worse than his career averages. So, I mean, which is, that's hard to come by. And people recognize that. So, primetime Correa is an actual thing. You're getting your pitchers back to health. This is, no matter what the skid has been on the last 3 weeks or so, you can genuinely just hit the reset button now. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And if Yordan comes back, Seth, you're going from having a lineup that's basically Altuve, a bunch of minor leaguers, and maybe Christian Walker getting a big hit every now and then, to a lineup that is Altuve, in no specific order, Pena, Altuve, Correa, Yordan. And this is where I'll bring up Christian Walker and go glass half full. It's like, yeah, he has been better for the last – he had a really good July. You know, well, so this is going to be fun.
And then the defense especially, I mean, that's a huge thing. The Astros are already, you know, one of the very best defensive teams in the league. And then you look at what happens yesterday and what the infield can look like on any given night. Because now you've got two extra guys that are really good defensively that you can shuffle in and out of whichever positions. And, you know, next year when Paredes comes back, it'll get super interesting.
That gets interesting on many levels, because is there a log jam? Do you put him at second base? Like, what do you do? We'll worry about that, Nick. Yeah, and for those who haven't heard, I think that news came down in the last 24 hours, too, Paredes out for the season. He's hoping to be ready for opening day next year. That's how bad the hamstring was. He had to have ripped that thing off the bone, right, Seth? If he's out 6 to 7 months?
I'm guessing that it was.
Just a really
sometimes
bad
a hamstring tear is just the actual tendon being ripped off the bone or snapping in half. And that sounds what it probably was.
6 to 7 months.
Having suffered that same injury myself.
That's why I asked.
No, and as a player, you know, you can appreciate how Paredes maybe thought at first I'll be okay. But I tore two of the three hamstring tendons that attach to the pelvis off my bone. So one of them is still attached. So initially you feel like, hey, I'm all right, I can do this. And then you find out via the MRI. I don't know if maybe the Astros, they actually ran an MRI this time, maybe.
Now that would be crazy. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday here, day 8 of Texans training camp. We will get to some Texans talk, but the big news, Carlos Correa returning. We'll get you up to speed on all the other moves the Astros made. They made two other trades. There was one trade that got down to about the 5-yard line, it sounded like. What would things have looked like if they had pulled off all the deals that they were trying? Man, Jim Crane was shopping yesterday, man. We'll get to all that. We'll continue with some Carlos Correa talk. We'll circle over to the Texans as well as we roll on here. 8 o'clock, Texans All Access. Texans Training Camp Live will take over here. Live from Texans Training Camp, Sean Pendergast, Seth.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody Bellinger's job is to look for information, get informed, know the facts for sure before he stands in front of cameras to talk about other players. You should get informed. You should be informed before you talk about other players. If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
I'm so excited to have him back, Seth.
Remember, that was one of the things that everything kind of turned in terms of the way the fan base perceived Carlos Correa after that. Because Correa, there was kind of a disconnect in some ways. He almost felt like there was almost like a touch of the A-Rod to him almost, where people just didn't feel like they could relate to Carlos Correa. And then all of a sudden, after the being better than everybody else scandal happened, and Correa was one of the guys who, you know, did the initial press conference and said, oh, I'm sorry, yeah, we were wrong on that. And then all of a sudden it just turned, and he flipped the switch, and he said, you know what? No. Yeah. Listen, you bunch of hypocritical BS. That part was awesome. And he was kind of a different guy. Whether he changed or not, I think the fan base just related to him differently after that.
Well, think about the year before. That was in that cut is in February of 2020. So that was early in spring training, right after the firing of A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. And that was when the baseball world is piling on. Everybody's arriving at spring training. The Astros are the A topic. Everybody's got a microphone in front of them, and the Astros they're getting treated like a piñata. And from what we found out now, been treating like a piñata by teams that were doing kind of this, living in the same world the Astros were. Maybe not banging on a garbage can, but definitely using technology to cheat at that time. The most stark thing, I think one of the biggest reasons that Correa popped so big with the fans, Seth, was not just that audio we just heard, not just him taking that stance, really him kind of leading the charge in that stance, you know, that sort of non-politically correct apology crowd. Think about 2019. That was the greatest team in Astros history. They didn't win the World Series. But that was the greatest team in Astros history, purely in terms of the talent from top to bottom. Everybody had great years, except Carlos Correa had a broken rib for about half the season that he got from a masseuse, supposedly. You know, like that was probably the lowest. While the stock on the franchise was at its highest, the stock on Carlos Correa individually was probably at its lowest in that 2019 season because of that injury and because of his lack of availability. And so that's the thing. Sometimes, man, when it's You get that dead cat bounce when you're at your lowest low. Like it's like a heel turn, like a bad guy becoming a good guy in WWE. Like the most over good guys are the guys who were the worst bad guys. So now you got Carlos, who everybody's like, he's out with a rib that he got from a masseuse. What the hell? And now he's out there just like swinging his axe like it's Braveheart, trying to chop everybody's head off that's saying anything bad about the Astros. That was a fun time. I hope he comes with that same energy this time around, just for no reason.
It was Corbin Burnson in Major League. When all of a sudden he decided to take a ground ball in the face every now and then for the good
Roger
of the team.
Dorn, the great Roger Dorn, yeah. So Carlos Correa is back. They made a couple other moves. The Astros did two days ago. They traded with the Orioles for Ramon Urias, infielder. He at that time, Seth, the talk was like, okay, well, I guess this is your third baseman with Paredes out. You know, he's played third base. He's played a decent third base for the Orioles this year. He's played 66 games at third base. I guess this will be the solution. I guess now Urias and Dubon can sit next to each other in the dugout and just be super utility guys with each other.
It's been a flurry. Oh, wait, finish the moves.
Yeah, so that was Urias for Twine Palmer, who I still contend that's not a real name, Twine Palmer. I don't think that's a real person.
I like it. It's an old-time baseball name. Back when every baseball player had a colorful name or nickname.
I said to Brandon Scott yesterday, I said, it sounds like a rodeo cowboy. You know, like all those rodeo cowboys have names. Yeah. They sound like they were named to be a cowboy. Jesus Sanchez, underrated pickup here. If Correa hadn't been traded for yesterday, we'd be playing this one up because this is it's an outfielder who's a capable left-handed bat. That they need right now, might be able to, you know, Cam Smith is kind of hitting a little bit of a wall here, it looks like, you know, just in terms of the sheer amount of play, you know, like a rookie wall. So maybe Jesus Sanchez is able to give him a little bit of a break here and there. But that's a nice pickup. And the only thing, you're not sending anything out in any of these. Like, you sent out Ryan Gusto and a couple minor leaguers for Jesus Sanchez. They gave up nothing for Correa. They gave up an A-level 26-year-old reliever. And that was a total salary dump by the Twins.
Yeah, yeah. And with getting one more lefty into the lineup, and then with Yordan hopefully coming back at some point, especially when you get to the playoffs, you think about some of these teams that have just flat out been able to rest all of their left-handed pitchers.
Yeah,
in series, because the Astros have the fewest number of plate appearances by a lefty. They've also faced the fewest number of left-handed pitchers. So teams going into a series against the Astros they're just able to pick and choose their best matchups.
Yep.
And it's really tough. It's one thing on a game-by-game basis, but you get into a seven-game series in the playoffs, and that's a tough challenge to overcome. When teams just feel like they can kind of stack the deck against you before the games even begin. So that's without even getting incredible production out of him or anything, you create that much more uncertainty in the minds of the pitchers and the managers and everything else.
Well, Seth, let's be real. The way this team is right now, I mean, look, they're getting Pena back this weekend, but there's still going to be a lot of guys in this lineup who shouldn't be playing everyday Major League Baseball. When they traded for Sanchez yesterday, right after the Correa trade got announced, and they put Sanchez's numbers up on the TV screen, I'm like, okay, he's got 740 OPS and 10 home runs. Like, that's a guy who's not going to be a crater in the middle of the lineup
hitter. Yeah, well, yeah. If you think about the trade acquisitions, you get two infielders that are both really, really good defensively. Correa, obviously, and Urias. But the things that you have to do you're not going to have a 2019 level offense on this Astros team this year, but how have you been able to make up for that? One of the things that they've done really, really well is just be excellent fielders.
Yes.
And they've been so good defensively that now you kind of double down on that and add to that. The offense doesn't need to be lights out. It just needs to be, able to do something, do something in the playoffs.
I would say the last bit of news yesterday for the Astros was apparently they came very close to completing a trade for Dylan Cease. I mean, the Astros almost brought all the juice at the trade deadline yesterday for MLB. There were a lot of deals made and some decent deals made, and the teams that feel like they can contend largely they made some tweaks or some big deals. Seattle traded for Eugenio Suarez a couple of days ago, so this gets fun. Dylan Cease almost became an Astro. The reports were, Seth, that the Padres wanted Spencer Arrighetti and three prospects, and the Astros said no. And I'm glad they did, without knowing who the three prospects would be, but just the name Spencer Arrighetti. Dylan Cease has not been good this year. Of course, there's always the hope when you're trading with the Astros for a pitcher who's not pitching well that he comes to Houston and all of a sudden he turns into the best version of himself. But I mean, Spencer Arrighetti's a guy you got under team control for five more years or something like that. And when he's been able to pitch, you know, he pitched virtually the entire season last year. Probably like a lot of these guys this year, he got brought up sooner than the Astros would have liked last year because of all the injuries. But he's somebody who benefited from that. And by the end of the year, he was a guy that I felt like if the Astros had advanced past the wild card round and were playing in five or seven game series last year, he'd have started a game for you in the playoffs last year if you had made it further. So I'm glad they didn't move Arrighetti and obviously whoever the other three prospects were for Dylan Cease. It sounds like pitching was really expensive at this deadline, and that's what Dana Brown said yesterday. He's like, the price of poker just got way too high, even for relievers. Like, you know, just the Astros are trying to find guys to fortify that middle part of the bullpen, which has started to kind of show some cracks here. But Dana Brown said just price too high for that.
It is, especially after, you know, there was so much skepticism about Kikuchi at the trade deadline last year because he hadn't been pitching all that well. that Cease, I think everybody would have been excited about Cease, despite the fact that he's got a 4-plus ERA this season.
Yeah.
And the Astros' ability to just kind of take a guy, and the same thing happened with Verlander when he got traded. You know, he wasn't having his best year. He had figured it out, and he had corralled it in that month or so before the trade deadline, but then becomes the best version of himself for the duration of his time with the Astros.
Dude, it was so funny you bring up Verlander. Like, when these trades start going down, as soon as the Correa trade happened, I'm like, go for it. Verlander probably wants out of San Francisco also. Go for it. Let's get everybody. Find out what Yuli's up to. Find out what Marwin's up to. Let's get everybody back together.
I didn't. Verlander is where I reached my limit. Just because
really?
We already had the sentimental signing with him. You know, you got him in at a huge discount from the Mets. That was great.
Yeah.
But this was the last, time I was, I was ready to, you got to draw a line somewhere.
And yet I still think I would have been excited if it happened.
I'm saying that now. I said the same damn thing about Correa. And then as soon as the thing comes, we have to remember, with Correa, it doesn't always go so simple once some kind of transaction happens in free agency or now perhaps via trade. Got to be sure there's no whatever that anomaly is in his lower leg.
Yeah.
He played with forever with the Astros.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this. When Correa left in free agency – and he goes to the Twins. He goes for that 1 year, and Jeremy Pena comes in. And Pena was solid enough all year, but then in the postseason, he had a better – Carlos is a great postseason player. He never had a postseason like Jeremy Pena had, Jeremy Pena's rookie year, where he was literally the best player in the ALCS and the World Series, or at least the most valuable player. And then the following offseason, you know, 22 going into 23, was when Correa got flunked on his physical by two teams. Like, Correa went into free agency, I think, with the sole purpose of being the next 10-year, $300 million guy. And it took him a year to get there. And then he did it twice and had the contracts ripped away from him. And then has to go back to Minnesota, which is not a contender like I think the Giants and the Mets viewed themselves at the time. Neither of them wound up being contenders, but that's neither here nor there. So Carlos is back in Minnesota on 6 years, $200 million. Meanwhile, watching the Astros still make a deep run into the playoffs. And I said at the time that Carlos, watching Pena, watching the Astros still contend, sitting on a team in Minnesota that was a complete disaster at the end of last season, that he's probably a little upset that he didn't take the 5 years, 160 from the Astros and just stay an Astro, considering how his whole – I mean, he's not poor. He got 6 years, $200 million, so he's not crying the blues. But just in terms of wanting to be on a winner, wanting to be an icon in the city – it would have been better for him at the time to just accept Jim Crane's offer in retrospect of 5 years, 160. I think yesterday validates that take, which is he waived his no-trade clause to come here at virtually the same money. Like, in the grand scheme of things, if Carlos didn't regret it, he'd still be a Minnesota Twin today.
I'll tell you what, if you think about some of those key guys from the golden era that went elsewhere and you wonder, okay, what emotionally, perhaps, what was the experience like for them? Verlander goes up to New York, and it was just a complete collapse and a disaster for the Mets that year after spending so much money. Springer, really, up until this year, has not had the same experience that he had with the Astros. Now, this year, it's different. The Blue Jays are very good, and Springer's been having a great year. Any of those guys that left, there's the money side of it, but then there's the whole, man, not just the Astros were good, but that every veteran who comes in here talks about how, wow, the culture is just different here. It's different than a lot of major league clubs. So it's an extra feel good moment, I think, when those guys come back and the Astros get them at a discount.
Yeah.
The Twins are paying $33 million of Carlos Correa's deal. Jim Crane has done this now with multiple different GMs.
Yeah.
Hey, they'd like to spend a certain amount for these guys, but they just can't go. They're not going to break the bank completely.
No.
But well, you know what? We might get them back anyway.
Yeah.
It's like buying a used car back that you once owned.
Right.
After the new owner goes bankrupt.
That's right.
It's like, oh yeah, I picked it up at auction. Turns out, my payments are even lower on it now than before.
Well, and unlike the Verlander trade, where the Verlander trade, the Mets were paying a lot of that salary, but the Astros actually did have to give up two prospects that were highly thought of at the time. Drew Gilbert was one who I think they've already moved on from. The Mets put him in a deal this week, so he's already gone. I forget who the other one was, but it was two outfielders, and I know the texters will tell me. Unlike that trade, the Astros gave up an A-level 26-year-old reliever. He wasn't even a draft pick of the Astros. They signed, like, he's a free agent they signed. He's languishing down in Asheville or Fayetteville or whatever. I mean, this is really taking advantage of a bankrupt person who bought your nice Maserati or whatever it is. I mean, because this is a – I'd love to know what they're saying in Minnesota today, because Correa wasn't the only deal they made. Like, they're trying to sell this team, and they stripped this thing down to the studs yesterday in Minnesota.
You know why it's such a great story emotionally is because it's something playing out that never actually works out in real life, which is, hey, let's take a break from the relationship. Maybe we should date other people.
Right.
And, okay, how often does that actually work out? Usually that's because one party really wants to date other people or has been dating somebody already. So it doesn't usually work out. The Astros kind of like, yeah, you know what? You feel like, hey, we've been together since you were 17, and you want to go out and date other people? That's fine. Let's just go ahead and go see other people. And then Correa comes back.
Yeah,
or
man.
Or Verlander comes back. It's
It's just going to be – this is a game tonight. They play in Boston. It's on Apple TV, unfortunately, but I'll watch it on Apple TV if I have to. But this will be a big story on a national broadcast like Apple TV. Like, there'll be shots of Altuve and Correa just chopping it up in pregame out there, and that's going to be really fun for Astro fans to see again.
Hey everybody, let's do it right now. Set a reminder for yourself for September 28th or so, or August 28th, to cancel your Apple TV subscription.
There you go.
Because they got me last time. I can't remember when the last Astros game was, but I forgot to cancel the subscription afterwards.
And
Apple TV ended up getting a few months out of me.
Yeah,
I'm not
going
to let them get me this time. I'm going to pay my one month, and then that's it.
That's the bizarro live read from Seth Payne. Seth Payne, a minute here for canceling Apple TV. Which is what you do when they're not paying you. Yeah,
it's not like it's bankrupting me or anything, but I just feel so used.
Yeah,
you know.
I hear you.
I thought you duped me with this one. You duped me with this one thing, and then I was a sucker for it. I did exactly what you hoped I would do.
I totally hear you. All right. Speaking of the Astros and the Red Sox, we'll talk about that in headlines. They get things going tonight. We'll get you up to speed on everything that went on with the trade deadline yesterday. There's news surrounding some former Astros too. For trade deadline day yesterday that we got to get to. Training camp starts back up. We had football on TV last night. Football's back. So we'll get to all that in headlines coming up next. Stay there.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, we'll get to headlines here in a second. We just had a Texans legacy moment here out here at training camp. I'm walking over to grab a water. Good-looking young guy has a couple big bags of ice. He's throwing them down, gives me a friendly hello. I'm like, how's it going out here, man? And, you know, we talk for about, 30 seconds, and then next thing you know, we're just learning, we're introducing each other. I come to find out, Chris Brown's son, your former teammate, Texans place kicker Chris Brown. His son Colby is out here working an internship for the Texans.
I was there when he was born. Not right there in the delivery room or anything.
That would be awesome.
Chris and Amy didn't like me that much, apparently.
Picturing Chris, you got your arm around him right there in the
Chris
delivery
and, room. Chris and Amy lived in Bel Air just down the street from us when we were first here in the first year of the team. And Chris and Amy were awesome. So it's really cool to see their kid who looks exactly like both of them.
Good looking kid, man.
He's like, he looks like an AI version of, like, what would you like your beautiful child to look like if it was a mixture of both of you? Like, oh yeah, that's a good looking kid.
Plays golf in college, so it means he's good at golf too. You know, he's good looking, good at golf. A lot of reasons to hate this kid.
Chris was a classic. A lot of kickers in the NFL are really good athletes, but you would never really know it. And if they tell you, they don't. You know, you don't want to believe it. But no, Chris was a really good high school quarterback. Up in Dallas when he was a kid. But it's good for him. Yeah, so he's doing the whole. Had a little talk with him about, you know, if he gets into football ops, you got to join the 2020 club. You got to be willing to work for $20,000 a year, 20 hours a day, and be really good at the menial. They'll notice you more for the menial stuff than they will for however you feel about the salary cap. They just want to see that you can work.
Nick Caserio's favorite four-letter word, work. Yes, that's his favorite four-letter word. He loves to say the word work. All right, so that was fun. Let's get to headlines. The Astros are in Boston to face the Red Sox this weekend. They're on the starting out a long road trip here. They go to Boston. They go to Miami. They're back up north to New York before coming home on August 11th. I would circle that August 11th date because, Astro fans, that'll be your first chance to pay tribute to Carlos Correa in Chapter 2 as a Houston Astro. But in the meantime, the Red Sox and the Astros get it going tonight in Boston. Hunter Brown on the mound tonight, Seth. They had a day off yesterday. They're still kind of holding the Mariners and now the Rangers, too. At arm's length, the Rangers are back in this race now. But, man, this Carlos Correa trade is the big news. They get the Carlos Correa is once again a Houston Astro. The only thing going back to the Twins in this trade is an A-level minor leaguer that's 26 years old. This is the Twins trying to get out from under a big contract and paying the Astros $33 million, literally, to do it. Carlos Correa and Astro this season and for three more seasons after this.
And this is one where you can throw out whatever his regular season stats are this year. He's not having a great year. He's been very up and down. He's had one bad month, one good month, one bad month, one good month. But Carlos Correa in the playoffs is really why teams were so interested in him the first time, and I think why the Astros are interested in him again, not just for the legacy or what he provides in leadership. I think there's extra juice in the clubhouse right now. And he's still young enough that it doesn't feel like you're just going back to the old well. You got 3 years left on the contract after this. The Twins are paying a bunch of it. This feels right in a lot of ways. I can't wait to hear Altuve talk about it.
Wait to hear Correa talk about it. I'm really anxious to hear everybody talk about this.
I can't wait to watch the HEB commercial.
Yeah.
The first time.
They need an injection of Carlos in the HEB commercials right now. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good pickup for HEB. It's a good trade by HEB. Good job. So deadline day, Carlos Correa, the big news. The Astros also pick up Jesus Sanchez, an outfielder from the Marlins. The familiar name going out in that deal is Ryan Gusto. He's going along with a couple of minor leaguers. Neither are pitchers. One's an infielder, one's an outfielder.
Sanchez is a lefty. That's the big asset and bonus there, that especially with Yordan coming back, you might have three lefties in the lineup. Modern baseball. There we go.
Yeah, I know. That'd be wild. That would be crazy. Spencer Arrighetti had a rehab start at Sugar Land last night. The numbers are not great. Without having watched it, I don't know. Do we treat these rehab starts like they're spring training?
You treat it like spring training.
For the sake of giving the numbers. 4 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 4 walks, gave up 6 runs, 5 strikeouts, gave up a couple home runs. The big thing to me is that he threw 79 pitches. Again, the numbers weren't great, but the numbers are whatever in these things. He threw 79 pitches in that game. So presumably when he comes back, and I would assume that Arrighetti, Javier Garcia, J.P. France, Seth, I got to believe that the report, independent of the starts they're making when you can look at the box score, I got to imagine all the reports on them on the days they're throwing in between, the velocities they're hitting, things like that, are all good. I think otherwise the Astros might have overspent on a pitcher yesterday, as opposed to saying nope, too pricey. I gotta think they feel like of the 4 or 5 guys, I'll throw Sean Dubin in there as well. Like he's at Sugar Land also. They got 5 pitchers at Sugar Land right now. I think they've got to feel good that at least like 3 of them are going to come back and be able to contribute to this team.
The thing with Arrighetti that I keep cautioning myself about is that he is still in unknown quantity. Really, you don't have a huge sample size on him. You have the progress that he made last year, but now in coming back from injury and still being a young pitcher, that you can't just put him up in pen that he's going to be really, really good, but it's you can feel better about him than a lot of the guys that have come out. And
yeah.
hey, Ryan Gusto looked pretty good for a – oh, never mind.
Yeah. Did you see that Ryan Pressly was DFA'd by the Cubs yesterday, designated for assignment? That's baseball parlance for waived.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was let go by the Cubs. So as long as we're welcoming everybody back, you know, Carlos Correa, Hector Neris is back with the team for a third time. Do they bring back Ryan Pressly just to flex that once again they salary dumped somebody on a team that cut the guy loose 3 months into the season and now we're just going to take him at a veteran's minimum or something like that?
It's a possibility. You already have to make three roster moves today for all of the guys that you're bringing onto the team.
Yeah.
But the bullpen has really been taxed. They've had to rely on because of the Brandon Walters and the Ryan Gustos and whatnot.
I want Pressly back. I want him back just for the optics of bringing back a guy that you salary dumped onto the Cubs before the season. I want that. Mm-hmm. They can cut him a week from now. I just want the transaction report of Ryan Pressly signing with the Houston Astros.
And just because a couple people have had questions about this, obviously, how does it fit with Peña and Correa? Correa wants to play third base. He's going to be playing third base. There's no kind of Derek Jeter and A-Rod tension there where there's any kind of concern over who's going to play what. Correa's wanted to move to third base for a while, and they just hadn't been able to work it out right up in Minnesota for him to do that.
Yep. Training camp resumes today, day 8. I don't know if it'll be pads today or not. They went in pads, the Texans did, 3 straight days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Started getting a little chippy at the end of Wednesday's practice. It seemed like 3 days of pads in 100-degree heat were wearing on a few guys.
I suppose so. I'll tell you what, anybody listening, be a grumpy old man about this. Your kids in high school have a more physically demanding job right now if they're when they do their training camp than the NFL guy. These guys do one-a-days, you know?
Yeah.
You've been in pads for 3 straight days. Meanwhile, there's kids out there going 2-3 hour sessions a day in high school in Texas heat. So, yeah, whatever.
Well, and the ratio of player to staff out here that's able to run out and spray water in their mouths and things like that. You know, like the resource level of this compared to high school, you know, it's like, yeah, they got it pretty good.
Having said that, it was a shock to my system the first time I came to Houston.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a difference in that you're going up against really, really good 340 pounders compared to high school or whatever, but it's all for your individual challenge. Anybody listening right now, especially if you went through 2-a-days or 3-a-days back when football coaches were allowed to be really psychotic,
You
guys faced a bigger challenge relative to your physical skill than any of the NFL players are right
fair,
now.
Fair, fair.
Yeah. I felt guilty complaining about training. Even they had modified it enough by the time I was a veteran player that I kind of just like, I can't complain about this. What
no,
are we doing here?
At least not in the presence of guys who were there in like the 60s and 70s, for sure.
God, no. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Soft,
talking to guys from the Oilers that had practice through an ACL for 7 weeks of training camp.
Exactly.
I had a little bit of an ACL tear there because we couldn't. There was actually no surgery for it, so I just kept going.
Hey, this time on Monday, we'll be in West Virginia, ready to put eyes on the team out at the Greenbrier. Are you excited for that?
I'm very excited about that. I'm excited too because of the setup up there. You get to see a lot more of the individual drills, so the one-on-one pass rush and everything. The Texans are being cool, giving us more access this year in Houston. But in West Virginia, you just get to sit up in the bleachers and take it all in. If the Texans end up making this a yearly thing, I highly recommend taking a trip to the Greenbrier.
Not open to the public. I double
checked.
Not open to the public this year. Seth, I did the same thing last week, so don't worry about it. I had a few listeners asking me, you know, like DM on social media, like, hey, I live in Virginia. I'd love to drive up. Do you have to have tickets to get in? So I checked with the team, and they said not open to the public this time around, which is too bad because you're absolutely right. When it was open to the public back in 2017 and 2018, if you have the means to get up there and stay up there in West Virginia, it is the closest access you're going to get. There's far less competition for autographs up there than there is here. And that's a good thing. We like having competition for autographs here because it means the fans are back out here, you know?
It makes sense, too, though, that the Texans had that week up at Nick Caserio's old prep school in Ohio last year, and I think they really liked the battening the hatches and kind of just feeling like they were isolated in an old-school training camp environment with a lot of fanfare. So they're going for that, but probably with – with better facilities. No offense to Caserios High School, but the Greenbrier has a really cool athletic facility up there.
Yeah, it's incredible. One final note in headlines here. Hall of Fame game was last night. We got football back. I don't care that it's Trey Lance starting on one side and former Texans legend Kyle Allen starting for the Lions last night. The Chargers win 34-7. So my hot take, the Lions are going to suck this year. They're going to be terrible. They just got blown out.
Well, Trey Lance, the stats coming out of that game are so crazy. The number of passes that Trey Lance threw in that game, it comprises like 10% of all the reps he's ever taken in high school, college,
dude.
The NFL, and including preseason games. He just hasn't played that much football.
It's incredible.
So, yes, it's the preseason. You're going against vanilla backup defenses, and yet there's still potential unknown upside there. And I would love it if somehow the Cowboys really gave him. They tried to make a little experiment with Trey Lance and let it go. Man, who knows? Maybe
that'll
they'll
be
let
fun.
A good one out of there.
Yeah, maybe. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Live Texans training camp day 8 gets started. 9 o'clock practice gets started. 8 o'clock Texans training camp live in the loop. Reggie and John will be out here today as well. So we're looking forward. This will be our last day out here because come next week they'll be in West Virginia. Let's reset the Carlos Correa deal. Seth brought up an interesting point in headlines that I think we need to dig into a little bit, which is, okay, we know how it looks this season. What does it look like next season? What does it look like in the offseason for the Astros when they try to figure out this infield puzzle that they've created for themselves with the Carlos Correa deal? And is there an injury with the Texans that we are not making a big enough deal out of right now? We'll discuss that as well. We'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.